In this podcast, I would like to talk with you about developing the other stroke styles, or we might call the other four, or there are four competitive stroke styles, and you're probably practicing one of those, maybe two. But there are a couple other ones that you may consider working on as well. So those four competitive stroke styles are freestyle, of course, which is otherwise known as crawl stroke. Freestyle, I think, is named that way because you're allowed to use a whole variety. You could use any of the strokes you want, as a matter of fact, because it's free. It just happens to be that crawl stroke is known to be the fastest stroke. That's why everybody does the crawl stroke, the modern crawl stroke. And we've come to label it now as freestyle stroke because that's what everybody does in that event. But in fact, I think the technical name is crawl stroke. But anyways, we'll call it freestyle here in this podcast. And then there is breaststroke, which is probably the number two most common stroke that we see people doing. There's probably a leisure form of breaststroke, and then there's a more competitive form of breaststroke. Then, of course, there's backstroke, where you're literally on your back and the face is out or poking out of the water so that you can breathe continuously if you want. And then there is the butterfly stroke, which we've probably all seen examples of, and it looks wonderful, but it is definitely a very challenging stroke to keep up for very many strokes or lengths. So those are your four strokes: freestyle, breaststroke, backstroke, and butterfly. Now, in some countries like the Netherlands, I believe everybody learns to swim breaststroke as their normal. You know, they teach that to everybody because they're surrounded by water everywhere. So they teach all their kids to swim, and breaststroke is their stroke of choice so that everybody can learn that. In other countries, we may learn crawl stroke, freestyle, as kind of our main stroke. But then you'll see most people in the pool that otherwise have had no one teach them how to swim, they very likely will be doing some form of breaststroke because it allows, if they would like, to keep their face out of the water, but they're still facing kind of in, you know, face forward position. And that allows them to have the most land mammal-like sense of safety in the water. So they can keep that head out of the water and breathe like horses and dogs and humans like to do. And they can make their way down the pool. And of course, probably most people listening to this, freestyle is by far the stroke of choice, the one most people are training for, taking lessons for, trying to perfect. It's the one we're going to use for long distance swimming and most of our fitness work in the pool. But the other strokes there's a lot of value in learning them, and I just want to talk through that a little bit. One of the first reasons why I would encourage you to learn another stroke is because if you're going to do a lot of training with crawl stroke, with freestyle, you're moving your body in a very repetitious way, in a very specific movement pattern, just a very narrow movement pattern for a lot of repetitions. And even with great technique, so that your joints are moving in a way that is quite healthy and safe for them, it's still moving all of those muscles and tissues in only one way through that movement pattern. And then if you do that long enough, your body will get really, really good at doing that, and it could start to lose flexibility and strength at moving in different patterns, in different ranges of motion. And so when we work with the other strokes, we now are moving the joints in the body and the spine and the muscles and the tissues. We're moving those in different patterns now. So now the body is practicing having more variation, more variety in its movements, and staying capable of handling a variety of movement patterns. So we're going to keep the neural system on its toes, knowing that it can move in different ways, just like a musician would learn more than just one song. They'd learn many songs, and they would try to learn new songs from time to time as well. Another reason too is, like, let's say you're moving your arms in a particular way in freestyle. Well, the muscles are going to get very strong, and there's going to be a tendency for your body to kind of curve and shape itself in the direction of which muscles are naturally tightening during the freestyle stroke, and then other muscles are naturally loosening. And so it could create a body that's actually a bit imbalanced because it's becoming over-specialized in that particular stroke style. And we want to resist over-specialization of the body, not only for the performance of the athlete, because if you're over-specialized, your body will actually become weaker and more vulnerable to injury, but also you're going to create more stability and protection of the joints. So, for example, you're moving your arms in this kind of from around the side and then in front of the body and then underneath the front of you, the front of your body when it's laying face down in freestyle stroke. In backstroke, you move your arm in the exact opposite direction. So think of your shoulder joint is your arm is articulating clockwise in freestyle. Well, then it reverses and goes counterclockwise in backstroke. So now you're working the muscles and the joint is working in the opposite direction. The muscles are now working in reverse. So one muscle that was working as a protagonist is pulling, is now releasing in the other direction. It's, you know, so the muscles are learning to work in the opposite directions where they were the normal loading and then they're eccentric loading in a different way. And so we're learning, the muscle fibers are learning to work and getting strong in both directions, both activation directions. So these would be really, really good for keeping your body stable and balanced musculature. So I like to do backstroke mixed in with my freestyle. So I may be doing a very long or very intense set of freestyle, but I'll use active rest. I'll use backstroke for active rest. So I'm kind of reversing the motion in my joints, helping them loosen up, prevent them from feeling stiff while I'm doing the hard work. And that's a really good for me. I like to do that. So then you should realize that freestyle, crawl stroke, and backstroke are sisters to each other. They're very related because think about how the spine is laid down and then your body rotates side to side along the spine axis. So we call those long axis strokes, backstroke and freestyle crawl stroke. And they're very, very similar to each other. So often we can teach freestyle and then simply just roll the swimmer over and then start teaching a few things about backstroke, and they can pick up on it really quick because there's so much relationship between the patterns on the front and the back. So the strokes are very related using that rotational force in the same way. Now, breaststroke and butterfly are what we call short axis strokes because now the body is pivoting in a different plane. It's kind of oscillating up and down instead of side to side. So these work the body also in a very similar way. So there's often a lot of swimming drills on for competitive swimmers. There's drills that we would do that actually kind of go back and forth between breaststroke and butterfly or hybrids between the two. Because the stroke and the movement pattern, the rhythm is very similar between the two. So those, we can understand the relationship between them. Now, they're not using exactly the same muscles in the legs because the kick is different between the two strokes and the arm stroke is a bit different and the timing is definitely different, but nonetheless they are very similar and complementary. But that difference between those strokes as well, they develop the arms and the shoulders and we're pulling now instead of one arm doing the work and then the other arm doing the work, you know, alternating between arm to arm. In butterfly and breaststroke, the two arms are doing the exact same thing on each side of the body. They're mirroring each other. The body's symmetrical in every action. So the arms are moving through the motion at the same time together, and the legs are doing that as well. And then the spine is the agent between the two, conducting the flow of force through the body in a wave-like motion. So now think about that. Think about if you've seen somebody do butterfly and you see this, what we call a dolphin motion, that kind of oscillating up and down like a curve. So people who are good at butterfly, they're beautiful to watch, especially if you can watch underwater, because you can see that pulsing action, that up and down, that dolphin kind of up and down gliding through the water. It's such a pleasure to watch. Now just imagine what's happening in the spine as they're doing that. The spine is flexing, it's extending and then it's flexing and extending and it's flexing, and there's a little wave moving down the spine. The head goes up and then the head goes down, and that wave just echoes right on down through the spine, down through the tail and into the legs. And that starts working those muscles in really good dynamic ways. Whereas in freestyle and backstroke, the spine is staying very long, stretched and straight and stable. The muscles there around the spine are stabilizing and holding maybe an isometric hold. They're holding the same position constantly. That's one form of strength. Whereas in butterfly and back and breaststroke, the spine is oscillating. It's on a wave, and the muscles now are learning to turn on and off, to flex in and out, to contract and expand. And so that's another form of strength, and keeping those muscles loose and stretched out, that's really good for the spine when you do that correctly. So just along the spine, it's good for you. Then the way the shoulders are working, the muscles that are activated as you press against the water resistance, that's gonna be really good. And so when you get done with a swim workout where you've done a variety of stroke styles, your body feels nicely worked in a wider range. Yeah, how can I describe this? You just feel like you got a fuller workout, like more of your body was touched. You feel looser. You feel, yeah, more flexible. It's really nice to work in different modes, different dimensions during a long workout like that. If I get done with a long workout where I've done mostly freestyle, I feel strong and nicely worked, but I also feel like my body was really held to a very limited movement pattern, and I don't quite have the same overall feeling of nice work that I would if I did a variety of strokes in that workout. So that's giving you some ideas there for learning the multiple strokes in terms of its physical benefit, muscular benefit. Neurologically, having your brain have to work through different movement patterns is really good for neural health, for brain health. So learning another language, that would be really good brainwave. Of course, you wouldn't think of that as a physical activity, like it wouldn't be physically hard, but it would be really hard for the brain because your brain is having to make new circuits and make new connections and build new symbolic networks inside the brain, and that it's work. The body has to work. But that work in the brain is what stimulates stem cells being turned into neural stem cells being turned into new cells, neuroregenesis. It's causing connections in the brain to become stronger. It's causing your brain to have to search for weak connections and use them more, which makes those stronger. And this is all, and then think of it, you've got chemicals pumping through the brain. You've got increased blood flow and oxygen. Then your body is now having to flush out, and it's more active, so it's flushing out more waste products, which is also, according to some theories, very helpful at preventing mental disease and dementia later on. So just learning language or learning music and new musical instruments or singing and learning new songs, anytime that you're stimulating the brain to have to learn things, to deal with complexity and to put new patterns together, this is going to be so good for your brain health. And this is a direct anti-aging technique, is to use your brain in new ways. Okay? Now, swimming provides that opportunity for us, because we know, since you're a swimmer in our kind of a school, you know that we treat swimming as a skill-oriented activity, not merely a fitness-oriented activity. It's not merely muscle building. It's building new neural connections. So when you're swimming and you're having to concentrate on perfecting your movements or learning a new movement pattern or correcting something or learning a new stroke or trying to become as good at that different stroke as you are at your favorite stroke, that is all excellent stimulation for your brain, excellent rejuvenation activity for the brain, okay? So I want you to think of this as well. It doesn't even matter if you end up getting really good at the activity. It doesn't matter if you actually become fluent in that third or second or third or fourth language. It doesn't even matter if you become good and beautiful and fluent at playing that new instrument. It doesn't even matter if you become good and awesome and fast or far, being able to swim far with that new stroke. The benefit comes from simply working on it, whether you get good at it or not. The getting good at it or not part just helps you stay motivated to keep doing it. But the work, whether you're good at learning, whether you make progress fast or slow, doesn't matter. Just the effort, that the mindful effort that you put in is all that's required for you to have that beneficial brain stimulation going on, okay? So right there, just for the sake of your longevity and your health, I want to encourage you to consider working on one or more of the other stroke styles. Pick one that you're not very good at or one that you haven't learned before and start developing it just out of curiosity of how this stroke works. You don't even have to take on a goal that you'll be able to swim a certain speed or a certain distance with this stroke. Just do it for the sheer pleasure of being able to do a different stroke. Now, I have a swimmer that is in his 70s, early 70s, and he just learned how to swim a few years ago. He just started later in life, and he has not been an athletic person in his life. He's been more of like a nerdy office kind of person. And he probably wouldn't mind me saying that at all. He'd probably say that himself. But he took up swimming here later in his life, and you know what? He decided he wanted to do the 200 butterfly. 200 butterfly. Now, if you have any idea of what butterfly is like, it's a very demanding, physically demanding stroke. It is tiring. It's one thing to be able to do it 25 meters, just one length of the pool, but another one to do it for 8 of those. That's a lot longer. It's like you can like push off and feel abundant energy and maybe get done with a length of butterfly, but by the time you start that second length, you're already starting to feel that fatigue. He was doing this for 200, and this has been a goal of his, and he's done a marvelous job. He's not fast at it. He sometimes has to rest a little bit at the wall, but nonetheless, he turns around and bam, he hits the wall, takes a little breather, turns around and he goes again, and he's been able to do this. He's actually gone to the United States and the European Championships for older people and done this in competition. Now, he might even come in last, but the fact is, he does it. He gets in the race and he swims 200 meters in butterfly. It's awesome. So I just want to say, you may already be a swimmer, but you think, maybe I'll do backstroke or breaststroke. But you know what? Do not discount butterfly. You know what? Excellent way to build strength. And it is a marvelous stroke because it is very detailed. And working on those details are so interesting. And if you have a good teacher, somebody that can teach you how to break it down into these smaller pieces and work on those component pieces, you might find it a very intriguing stroke. And you know what? You don't even have to do it for several strokes. You could just work on taking 2 or 3 and just making 2 or 3 strokes marvelous as you can make them. And then just stop. You could just become a 3-stroke butterflyer and just enjoy it for the motion that it is, because it feels wonderful once you get some of those pieces dialed in. Okay? So that's a little encouragement there. Don't neglect butterfly just because you think it's hard. If a young 70-year-old can do it, an early 70-year-old can do it, you could probably figure out some of that stroke yourself as well. All right? So I just want to encourage you with that. Consider learning those other strokes and enjoy the benefits that will bring to your brain and your body.